Fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion.
You're listening to Fashion on 95BFM with Penelope Noir.
Good morning, Penelope Noir. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
Hey, very
Penny.
Well.
All right, what are we? We're talking Giorgio Armani for fashion today, aren't we?
We are.
Yes. He died on Thursday last week. And so I thought it would be good to have a review of he and his fashion and his life. I didn't really know much about him, so it was a good kind of dive into his legacy, I guess. According to The Guardian, It says, he anticipated two permanent and independent shifts, the rise in the cult of the gym, which made every man's physique his own responsibility rather than a tailor's, and the end of constriction in men's clothing. So essentially, he actually dressed women in power suits and men in women's fabrics. That he kind of like completely shifted, you know, reinventing the suit, feminizing it for men and popularizing it for women.
Oh, that's right. So cool.
Oh, yeah.
I love wearing suits as a woman.
Yeah, and if you kind of Google like famous kind of outfits that he created, you'll be quite surprised. Like Diane Winchester did her an award for Annie Hall was wearing complete Armani, which you just, I don't know, that's like quite an iconic image, and I just never thought that was Armani. You know, it's quite crazy.
We're looking at some photos now. I'm seeing this crazy one of that
Lady
Gaga dress where she's like, I think it's at the Grammys one year. And
yeah, it's the 2010 Grammys, and it kind of looks like she's a Jetson or something. And it's kind of weird because, you know, I'm saying when I'm describing power suits and stuff, you're thinking quite conservative. But then he went on and did things like that. And he also did her Monster Ball tour outfits. He also did Demi Moore's amazing golden dress that she wore when she won the Best Actress for the Golden Globes in 2025.
What a designer.
Apparently Giorgio Armani Group was worth more than £10 billion in Italy. Only Gucci and Prada are bigger. He never allowed outside investment. So similar to Vivienne Westwood, who never allowed anyone to kind of buy into the company, he controlled everything from, you know, the first thread to the shop floor. He did accessories, perfume, makeup and sportswear and lower-priced levels of Emporio Armani and Armani jeans. And he was very strongly disciplined as a person. He didn't smoke. He was teetotal, rose really early morning for gym sessions. He swam like 50 laps a day. He was meat-free. He even in his houses, he was very minimalist, and he only owned one artwork, which was by Matisse that Eric Clapton gave him.
Whoa.
Awesome. That's a good one artwork to own, eh?
Yeah, totally. And he started as in 1956, he started a medical degree, and he only did that for a couple of years before he dropped out and joined the army. But that didn't last either, and he found a job as a window dresser in a department store in Milan, where he moved swiftly through the ranks. Learned on the shop floor, not an apprenticeship, which was the norm at the time. And he learnt a lot about fabrics. That was kind of like his passion. He liked what, you know, he found out what customers liked, and he went to textile mills to buy them. He worked for a haute couture designer called Nino Cerruti, who eventually asked him to restructure the company. And because he was such an expert in fabrics, this allowed him to create menswear range for Nino Cerruti that had neat, precise cuts that could be manufactured at scale. And I think essentially when you look at tailoring, you know, like there's padding and things like that, and he kind of took all of that out, and so it was easier to make them. He set up his own company in 1975 with his business partner and lover Sergio Gagliotti, when he reportedly sold his V-dub Beetle to set up the company. But his kind of kind of first claim to fame is that in the late 70s, he was asked to provide a sexy wardrobe for John Travolta in American Gigolo, which is a film that came out in 1980. But John Travolta pulled out and Richard Gere stepped in, and it was so the costume design for him was so successful that director Michael Mann got Armani to create linen suits for the 80s show Miami Vice.
Wow.
And apparently, like, Richard Gere wore an amazing, like soft suede, like, sports coat. And so, just trench coats and things like that. I've never seen the film, but there are iconic images of Richard Gere when he's young. And at the time, he was the epitome of hot, yeah. I guess. Yeah.
I'll look at the photos now. It's a nice suit.
Yeah.
Oh, Rosie.
I'll say that much. It's a nice suit.
Yes, it's a nice suit. He also did the suits and costumes for The Untouchables. Mm-hmm. He dressed Bruce Wayne, Christian Bale in Dark Knight Rises, Brad Pitt and George Clooney in Ocean's 13.
Yes.
And basically within a decade of starting his business, he became the biggest selling European designer in the US.
Wow.
Holy moly.
Pretty cool, eh?
Yeah.
Other cool things that he did was he stopped using models with low body indexes when one he worked with died of anorexia, and he also didn't use supermodels because he felt they obscured the clothes.
Wow. Okay. So he was highly influential by the sounds of things.
Yeah, totally. And he also, the BBC said, the first designer since Coco Chanel to bring about lasting change in the way people dress.
Yeah.
And he was described by celebrities as not following trends. He also owned Olympia Milan basketball team.
Oh, okay, cool. Crazy. Go awesome. Georgia.
I really like finding those kind of random things about people, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, and
it's incredible the legacy that he's left behind. Like, looking at these outfits, they're all so soft and simple and but like very stunning.
Chic. Yeah.
Yeah. It's quite interesting because I guess, like, I'd always heard the name, but I kind of just thought he was really, really conservative.
Mm.
I kind of thought he was in the same vein as a bit like Ralph Lauren. But,
yeah,
Or Ralph Lauren, sorry. But maybe the Italian version. But I feel like he is obviously completely different. He's definitely got that, you know, he was always very proud of his Italian heritage. And when you look through what he did design, it's pretty incredible because it seems conservative, but it's not, you know.
Mm. And I also think that love and passion for kind of textiles is something that's so often overlooked but is so important to fashion.
Yeah. And I think, like, it's like, I don't know about you, but I'm really big on, you know, what I like to wear because you want to be comfortable and fabric is, like, very, very important, you know.
Mm. Oh, totally. Otherwise I get overstimulated if I don't wear the right fabrics and I'm like, oh,
yep.
Get it off me.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I can appreciate that completely.
Well, so because he was so involved with everything with Armani, what's going to happen to the brand now, do you think?
Yeah.
So he didn't leave any children, he wasn't married, so he's leaving it to his current business partner and his niece, and he'd been working to hand it over to them in the past kind of couple of years, and when he died he was actually working on a big project, which was to provide a runway show of 50 pieces for the Milan Fashion Week. So he was definitely going out with a bang, so I assume that they're going to keep on working with the brand, because as you know, lots of brands or, you know, fashion houses continue to, you know, keep going when maybe their core founder dies, like Christian Dior and Versace and things like that.
Yeah.
There's always someone that can take over the realm and, yeah, just keep on creating clothes. He also, like, at one point had, I think he had, I don't know if this still happens, he had an office in LA so that he could create, like, pieces for all the stars for when they did go to the, like the, I was going to say going global, but the Golden Globes and Emmys and things like that, so that he never had to have everything in, you know, in part of the four seasons that other designers did. He always kind of designed outside of that as well.
Mm. Wow, what a legend. I'm glad that it's staying in the family.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty cool, eh?
And I feel like all that looking after himself really paid off. He was 91 when he passed away.
And still working.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I saw a photo of him on one of the runways in June this year, and he looks pretty fit.
Yeah, he's in shape.
Yeah, totally. Apparently he had a lap pool that was kind of one lane wide and, I don't know, a certain, you know, like maybe a swimming pool long, and that he just, so only one person could go in it and he would just be swimming, wow, you know, doing the laps all the time.
Amazing.
Oh, this sounds like fun. Oh, well, thank you so much for chatting Giorgio Armani with us today, Penny.
Thank you so much.
It was lovely to have you on, and we'll talk next week.
Great. Take care.
Kakite. Bye.
Bye.
That was Fashion on 95BFM with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.